This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yo, coming alive from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Wednesday around the country. Got you another hour as you start to cruise home. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, and Sirius XM 206.
All right, BT.
Yes, Tiki.
We already know that Magic Johnson, in addition to abruptly calling a press conference and stepping down. Hey, what's Magic Johnson calling a press conference for? Hey, I'm out. See y'all.
Yeah, I know.
Which hijacks the ending of two pretty good careers.
You might want to amend the word pretty good and insert great.
I meant
great.
That like facetiously. Got like fantastic careers in actuality. Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki. And, you know, it sucks because we're not talking about these two amazing figures in sport. And maybe we'll get back to them at some point.
Once they retire, they retire.
I agree.
I mean, then we're into the playoffs.
And that's my
point. So we probably better carve out some time now.
But that's my point.
Okay, let's hit it.
But most people are talking about Magic Johnson.
Yep.
If you're talking NBA basketball. So they get lost a little bit. But if you're we had the conversation, I don't know when it was, 2 weeks ago, about who had the better career, Dwayne Wade or Dirk. And it's an impossible conversation to have because they're so different. It was an inbounds, out of bounds question. Easy one. But still, when you think about Dirk, right, the influence is the European opening up Europe. Mm-hmm. It's the big man who can shoot. It's the, I don't know, he's quirkiness but greatness. It's weird. It's hard to put like your finger on exactly why you.
Low maintenance superstar,
yeah,
for sure.
Exactly. But then you think of Dwayne Wade, and you see this guy who is philanthropic as anybody in basketball. But he's also part of the Banana Boat crew. He won a championship with greats, obviously Shaq, and then with LeBron. Who goes down as the greater pro at the end when you remember them 5 years from now? Is it Dirk? Because Dirk's impact feels more broad. It feels like you can claim Dirk with a lot of different things. Whereas with Dwayne Wade, it's smaller sphere, but likely more powerful. If that makes sense.
It makes sense. I would tweak it this way, though. I think that Dwayne Wade has certainly benefited more from social media than Dirk Nowitzki. And I think the reason I even say that, as I kind of work my way through to my answer, who I actually think is the better player, is that, you know, the buzz that Dwayne, and rightfully so, has generated over the years, I believe has probably elevated him to a spot in the minds of many who consume the sport that is a little kind, a little higher than he really should reside in terms of the list of all-time greats.
Dwayne Wade. Yes.
And I think for the most part, because, you know, Dirk is a relatively, while he's witty and funny and cool, but relatively innocuous personality. You know, he's not pop, not that Dwayne pops off on social media at all, but you know, at all. I mean, he's a great guy. But Dirk just, you know,
Doesn't even try. Yeah.
And even his dunks were, you know, relatively boring. When you're 7 feet, 7 feet one, the dunks are going to be boring unless you're Shaq and try to rip down a rim or Wilt.
Let's look. I mean, his signature move is a one-footed fadeaway from 12, 14 feet.
Correct. You know correct. What I mean? Which on the surface seems so benign, so non-threatening. It's not going to embarrass you. It's not going to cross you up like Allen Iverson. It's not going to be Jordan or Dominique where he dunks over you and dunks it, jumps over you and dunks in your face, or the shimmy shake by Hakeem Olajuwon, or the power dunk by David Robinson, or the bank shot by Tim Duncan, or the three bomb by Bird, whatever, you know, all the signature, the no-look pass by Magic. it seemed like the one move that we could all replicate.
Yeah.
Like, we could all try that in the park and have somewhat varying degrees of success.
Yeah, it's funny.
But if you played basketball, even for a minute in high school, you'd probably make more shots than you'd miss.
Yeah, you're right. You know what's funny, though? Ty Jerome, who we had in our first hour, that's one of his shots. He does that all the time.
And he got it from Dirk.
He'll take a smaller kid or smaller defender into the paint and then back away and then shoot that. Like,
the baseline, he does that a lot on.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does all the time. And he knocks it down.
Yeah. Who do I think is better?
Ty Jerome, obviously, from the University of Virginia, by the way.
Who we had on the first hour. We'll go check it out. Just go to YouTube, Apple, iTunes, all the downloadable ways of the show. I think it's Dirk.
Yeah.
I think Dirk is the better NBA player. I believe that his pedigree is close, and they're very different. And maybe if Dwayne Wade wasn't banged up so much, my answer would be different. But I'm going to say Dirk.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to disagree. I think Dwayne, because of who he is, other people would answer this question not just thinking of the X's and O's, the basketball success, and the, you know, who, like, what kind of guy in the locker room, etc. He was not that Dwayne was not a good locker room guy, but it just feels like Dwayne Wade resonates more with people, and so that answer will be biased for a lot of people. It's great that they're going out at the same time because it gives an interesting juxtaposition. But also how, I think, broad the NBA is, because obviously it's European and American. It's white. It's black. It's two different styles, non-traditional. You look at Dwayne Wade and you think he's a three-point shooter or a point guard who's a disher. He actually played in the paint for a lot of his career. He scored at the rim. He was athletic as hell. He used to be able to, you know, he used to mush people, you know, dunking on him and stuff. But you look at him, you look at Dirk, and it's, okay, he's a big guy. He should be playing with his back to the basket. And contrary to what a lot of people think, he actually didn't shoot that many threes in his career. He only averaged three attempts a game and just made just over one a game over the course of his career. So that he's kind of misperceived in some ways.
Stereotyped.
Yeah, exactly.
Stereotyped. There's the white shooter.
The big man who could shoot, right? The stretch four or stretch five. That's who we think Dirk is. And now he is, but he's actually kind of not when you think about it.
Here's what I really will remember Dirk for. It's funny. You talk about the 1 foot fall away. Obviously, his signature move. The thing that I really think, you know, and maybe it is the European background. Maybe it's that he's white. Maybe it's both. The thing that he never got credit for until you were forced to give him credit for.
Yeah.
Was his toughness.
Yeah, of course.
I remember Dirk, you know, right around when he won the championship, but even a couple of years before that, some extensive playoff battles where he would just come up short. I mean, they would double team him, and they would pound him hard, and he would just get up undeterred, and he always did this thing with his jersey. Like, he would kind of, like, not flex his shoulders, but, like, reposition his jersey by, if when we get on camera, you'll see it. We kind of, like, flips his shoulders forward like he's almost stretching. And he would just go to the line and handle business. Never complain, never chirp back. Quiet assassin.
Yeah.
Quiet assassin. You tough.
I wonder if either of them will be missed. I think Dwayne Wade feels like he's going to be missed more. Maybe because,
I don't know.
Maybe because Dirk has been so quiet. He's playing like 14 minutes a night. You know what I mean? He's not getting big minutes.
We've kind of been saying goodbye for a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of conditioning ourselves.
You're right.
Yeah. But I also think, again, it ties into the whole social media thing. I think when you're buddies with LeBron and Carmelo and Chris Paul, you're just going to have more of a natural energy around you. That's tough for Dirk to replicate, who, quite frankly, doesn't even try. But you talk about emotion. My brother-in-law, and I get it because I'd be doing the same thing because I felt this way with Ewing. And if my son was, you know, if I had children when Ewing was, you know, obviously I wasn't nowhere near being ready to be a dad back then, that's for sure, or a husband. But if I did, I would have had the same tears. Like my brother-in-law, Shane, they live in Dallas. I've referenced them on the show a few times. And my nephew, Carson, terrific athlete, gentleman, just a good little kid. They were both crying last night watching. They were crying like they had this text chain going on. And I get it. I mean, it's palpable. It's palpable, especially when you play for one franchise. You know, the thing about Wade, though, look at this, Teague. So, 61, I mean, he missed so many games. 61, 51, 51, 49.
But it doesn't feel like it, you know?
It did for a while. Now that he's older, we don't care as much, quite frankly. To me, it did for a while. I knew that he missed a lot of time. 54, 62-60. That's a lot of missed games.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of missed games.
I think he laments leaving those couple of years.
No, because I think that I don't think he wanted to leave, but no, Pat Riley didn't give him a good contract. When he went to Chicago?
But it was, I mean,
I think absence can make the heart grow fonder. It's an expression, but I think it really applies in certain spots.
It's just weird. I'm watching the videos and the like all these tribute things, and you see him in his Heat jersey.
Yeah.
I can't even see him in any of those other jerseys.
No.
You know what I mean?
Except the Marquette jersey.
Well, yeah, the college Final Four. But like, I'm in my mind, I'm trying to give me that jersey in Chicago. I can't see it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just doesn't pop into my head.
And he's the kind of guy who looks good in any uniform too.
True, but I just can't see it. And I feel like it's a shame that they couldn't figure that out so that he spent his whole career.
That was Riley.
I know.
That was all Riley. Oh no, I'm not disagreeing with you. But I think that By leaving for, what was it, 2 years?
2 years.
It was 2 years, right?
Yeah. Because nothing happened.
With the Cavs.
Like, nothing happened,
mm-hmm.
right, when he left for Miami. It's not mm-hmm. like, okay, we can't pay you because we got to rebuild.
Exactly. There was no reward. It was just we lost our guy.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
We still stink.
Exactly.
Or we're average. You know, that's fair. It's easier as a fan to compartmentalize the loss of a franchise legend and icon when you're awarded 82 times a year. When you flip on a team, you know, the TV mm-hmm. to watch your team play, you think you have a real chance to win.
Yeah.
And, you know, Miami, this goes back to the Pat Riley aspect of the conversation that we had last hour. You know, food for thought. If you're Pat Riley, even though he's going to be 75, doesn't look it, but he is 74. If you want one more professional challenge, what's a greater challenge to come full circle than to save the Lakers? I mean, I just threw it out there. I don't know if it's going to happen. Matter of fact, I don't think it will. But Pat Riley in Miami, he's not going to win anything.
No.
Just like, you know, Dwayne Wade's not going to win anything. He doesn't need to, though. No, I agree. A lot of times, like, when a player is retiring and it's a true icon, it's almost better that the team is bad. Because you get the ceremonial tributes, you can gas him up, and he can have certain nights where he can take 20 shots, or it could be a little bit more about him than the team element. You know, it's not the worst thing in the world that the Mavericks and the Heat, you know,
yeah.
Although the Heat are a little bit better than the Mavericks, and the Mavericks are set up well for the future, but
Jordan,
you know what I mean.
Even Jordan, when he went to the Wizards,
mm-hmm.
like they weren't good. So
you know, he played 81 games or 80. I think he made it play 82 games with the Wizards. He averaged 37 minutes a game.
it's 37 crazy.
Minutes a game.
What was their record?
They weren't very good. That's when they had Rip Hamilton. Did they have Gilbert Arenas for
but
a minute?
Did we
at
know
that
it was his last year?
Maybe Haywood. Our buddy Brendan Haywood, I think, was there for a year across
and
over.
82,
he played all 82.
Yeah. Did they know?
I right? 37 and a half minutes per game?
Did they?
That last year?
37 even.
37. Wow. My bad. Man, I'm getting sloppy here.
30 seconds. But did they know it was his last year?
Yeah, you know, I don't recall if there was an announcement.
I don't remember like a tour, like a farewell.
It's a great. You know what? I don't remember.
Yeah,
I've said a few times. I remember when Kareem rolled into the Garden when I was a kid. They gave him a rocking chair.
Uh-huh.
They put Dr. J and they went through kind of like what Jeter did with all the teams, the ceremonial tour. I don't know that Jordan. That's a really good question. I'm gonna have to look that up. I'm not sure.
I don't want to just make up an answer.
I honestly don't recall.
If it happened, I don't remember it.
Yeah,
I really don't.
And what was it like when he went back to Chicago? That I should remember, but I don't remember that either. He played in every game, so I got to look that up. Now you piqued my curiosity. All right, coming up next here, we have Michael Lee from The Athletic, senior NBA writer. All the Magic stuff, some playoff mm-hmm. possibilities.
Who's saving the Lakers?
Who's saving the Lakers? Is there somebody out there of proper age and juice and mindset that is even there to possibly save the Lakers? There might not be the perfect candidate. We'll explore. Coming up next, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way to save money, switch to GEICO. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. All right, tomorrow all about the Masters, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, and Sirius XM 206. We'll stick with the hoops there. Obviously, the Lakers are a mess, just a circus at this point. Playoffs on the horizon, all sorts of good stuff. It's going to be a fun summer with player movement. And Michael Lee is with us here, senior writer for The Athletic, back on Tiki and Tierney. Michael, how you been, buddy? What's happening?
I've been good. I'm good. Looking forward to the playoffs.
Yeah, that's funny. There's good and there's good. And you sound like you're really good. That was a really good.
He's really ready for the playoffs, man.
Regular season to get here, man. This is a good build-up. We're going to miss LeBron, but it should be entertaining no matter what.
That's a great point. Yeah.
We get a new team in the East, man. I'm excited about that.
That's right. Okay. That's right.
Let's do it.
We spent most of the day obviously talking about Magic and his hijacking of Dirk and Dwayne Wade's retirement day. But that is what it is. But, you know, just stick with the Lakers for a second before we move on to the postseason and what we think could happen. Who replaces Magic? And is this a good or a bad thing for the Lakers?
I think it's a great thing for the Lakers because the problem that they've had the last 2 years is that they've had two guys in positions that they don't necessarily know how to run. You know, Magic was the president of basketball operations, and Rob Pelinka was the general manager, but neither one of them had any basketball executive experience. And I think when they hired Rob Pelinka, the thought was like, well, Bob Myers is doing the same thing with Golden State, but Bob Myers did an apprenticeship for a year with the Warriors in the front office to figure out how things work and how things are operated. And also Jerry West was there, too, to also show him the kind of the ropes. So when you kind of come in and you build your front office with two inexperienced guys, you're kind of going to get dusted, you know, by the opposition when it comes to trades and when it comes to other situations like free agency. You could see how everything was mismanaged with their pursuit of Anthony Davis. That totally disrupted the team, and it broke them this year. And a lot of that is because they didn't have the experience. Magic is great at being Magic Johnson, but he had never been anyone who knew how to run a team and could make that commitment necessary to really take it 80 hours a week, you know, going to college gyms and scouting talent, you know, maybe going to Europe if he has to find, you know, a diamond in the rough.
Mm-hmm.
All these things that are needed, you know, to be a top executive, he just couldn't do it. And I think when he stepped out yesterday, a lot of people were like, man, why couldn't he tell Jeannie that was so disrespectful, that was so unprofessional, yada, yada, yada. And that's true. But, you know, when I took a step back, I thought to myself, you know, Magic is his own boss. Magic's never had to answer to anybody since his playing career ended. So to have to deal with someone who wouldn't allow him to do what he wanted to do, the way he wanted to do it, either from Jeannie Buss or from the league or anyone else, that just didn't sit well with him. So when you're a boss and you're used to being in control and used to being Magic Johnson, it's hard to be an employee.
Yeah.
that's how I view the whole situation.
Well, let me jump in here. So if I can condense what you say, and by the way, I agree with almost everything you say, basically what unraveled Magic is, number one, a lack of work ethic and an ego that he couldn't get his arms around. Mm. I mean, those are really the two bullet points I take away from that.
Well, I don't question Magic's work ethic. I question his commitment to this job.
Well, that's what I mean, pertaining to this job, job.
But for him, you know, but I think, you know, when it comes to the work that he put in, when it comes to making business deals that are going to, you know, line his pockets, I think he was fully committed to that.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree with that.
We positioned it earlier. I don't think he knows how to work hard at this job, right? It's not easy.
And especially if you don't know what you're doing,
yeah.
You know, especially if you don't know you know, how to really talk to agents or talk to players or convince them to come. I think it helped it when they got LeBron to come because they could just relate just from a legend perspective. They could just talk to each other. And that was appealing to LeBron to sort of be around Magic, but not just from his knowledge of basketball, but more from his knowledge in business and just how he was able to turn his playing career and his time in L.A. into something profitable from to where he's now, you know, at least if not a billionaire, very close to being, you know, that worth that much money. So I think that's sort of where Magic's whole focus has been since he retired. I mean, he had the moment where he tried to coach and he had the TV show and all these things that flopped. So he didn't really need this. And when you look at just the negative, you know, publicity that he got for running this job, he probably was like, how am I winning in this? Like, I'm not winning in this. I'm getting blasted for not being good at this when I'm doing this as a favor. Like, it's not like I've been just I'm some guy who's been, you know, a video coordinator and a scout and has been working my whole life, you know, so for the opportunity to run an NBA team.
I've been Magic Johnson my whole life. I've had people love me, and I've had people walk up to me and tell me I'm the greatest, and now all of a sudden everybody's telling me I suck. It's like, no, I'm Magic Johnson.
Yeah, but Michael, you suck. Say, here, I got to stop you for a second, because you say that he's doing it as a favor. We all do varying levels or degrees of favors for friends and family. We don't get paid millions. I mean, a favor is you literally do something for somebody without any compensation. I mean, that's it. Make it seem like he's a saint. He got paid.
You're speaking as somebody who's used to working for a living in that respect and used to having a boss.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but
he's Magic Johnson. You know, so
yeah,
so
in his who's mind, a terrible like, executive.
And thanks for the money.
What you're saying is the money is irrelevant. The money doesn't mean anything.
The money meant nothing to him. What's $5 million to him?
All right. I guess when you put it that way, fair. Fair? All right, when you put it that way.
I mean, like, to you and me, $5 million, like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. But anybody else in that position would just love it.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
But we're not talking about just anybody else. And I think when the Lakers, their next hire, is going to have to be somebody who, one, is not one of Jeannie Buss's close friends.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It can't be somebody, can't be Phil Jackson type. It has to be somebody who comes in just from a pure basketball sense and has a knowledge of how to build a team. And that's been the flaw with the Lakers for the last decade or so, maybe even longer, when you consider Jim Buss and that he was given the ability to run the team. You know, Mitch Kupchak was there for a while, but just having somebody who just understands the grind, understands the commitment that's required for this job, and understands that, yes, this is the Lakers, and we have a responsibility to our fan base to give them a quality product, you know, some stars and somebody to root and rally behind. But the number one objective is just establishing a quality culture and also, challenging the players to uphold the legacy of the Lakers and not just expect it to happen just because we put on purple and gold jerseys.
Okay, we're talking to Michael Lee, one of the senior NBA writers for The Athletic, and good stuff here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
So, Michael, just to stick with the Lakers, this is what we're going to talk about. Who is that? Like, and who would want the job given what feels like a little bit of dysfunction going on with the Lakers right now?
I can't imagine that it would not be an attractive job. I think it is an attractive job because, like I said, it is, you know, it's one of the most storied franchises in NBA history. I just hope that they finally, you know, kind of look outside the Laker family,
mm-hmm.
And try to find an executive who can, you know, bring some fresh ideas to the organization, who can challenge, you know, the way they think that things need to be done. You know, there certainly was a successful way that they've, you know, thrived on in the past, but it usually just meant that just for being the Lakers, they were going to get the best player to either come in free agency or that somebody they're going to get a trade.
Yeah.
That is not going to happen anymore. So they have to find a different way to do it. And they just have to stop thinking that they can snap their fingers and expect magic because of the Lakers.
To happen. You know, one of those guys that they tried to get in the trade was Anthony Davis. And before we let you go here, Michael, Anthony Davis is an interesting spot, right? He wore that stupid T-shirt last night. Now, that's all, folks. Like Bugs Bunny or something.
I mean, come on. I mean, what is that?
But where does he likely end up? Do you get a sense of who can make the best deal for the Pelicans? Because it's got to happen this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, Boston has got to be the team. They have, and that's the team they feel we're holding out for anyway, because mm-hmm. they could offer up Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown and, maybe some draft picks. They have 3 first-round picks this year, so they have the assets to make a deal like this happen, and they have, you know, a promising player you could build around and sell to the fan base. So that's really what they need. If you're surrendering a star of Anthony Davis's caliber, you need to get a guy who has the potential to do the same, because you're basically telling your fan base that, yeah, we blew it the whole time we had one of the top 5 players in the game. So now we're going to try to run it back to somebody else. But at least have somebody the fans want to get excited about rooting for.
Oh, my God. You guys did a great. Well, I don't think you actually conducted the poll, but it was on your website.
Yeah.
I think 109 NBA players were polled on a multitude of topics, one of which was the eventual destination of Kevin Durant. And I believe it was 60-something percent, you know, say it's going to be the Garden. I've been saying that for 5 or 6 months. I believe he's bouncing. Are you as sold on KD to the Knicks as many in the sport are?
I mean, there's a lot of smoke there.
Yep.
And there's a lot of dots that can be connected to make sense of it. The one reason why I'm just not going to say for sure is that Kevin's a very emotional guy, and he can change his opinion and his mood by the day, by the hour. And so I think that right now, even if he feels like he's going to play in New York, things could change. And who knows what happens if with the Lakers and who they wind up hiring and the direction they decide to go moving forward, how that could maybe change his plans as well. So I think this sort of like where we are today. I'm sure 3 years ago when he was approaching free agent with Oklahoma City, you'd ask him where he was thinking about going. He probably wasn't thinking about leaving.
Mm-hmm.
But as the season ended and they lost, he probably was, you know, when he decided it was time to go. So I think that, you know, a lot of factors can change his idea of what he wants to do between now and free agency. One being if they could three-peat and things start feeling good, he has such an enjoyable ride. He's like, you know what, let's go four.
Mm-hmm. Open the new building, et cetera. Yeah. It's 15, 20 seconds. I know what Steve Kerr said, and also that, you know, Steph tweaked his ankle again, which happened really without any sort of physical provocation. It was just a seemingly benign move where he went to plant, and we've seen that before. You buying what Steve Kerr is saying, that he's going to be ready for game one, or is this something Warrior fans need to worry about?
Well, when you hear Steph and ankles, you always have a panic. You start to fear the worst. I think they should be extremely cautious with that because we've seen it before. Steph is a prideful guy who wants to get out there and play as much as possible. And if he gets out there and injures himself like he did in 2016, it could really set back their championship hopes. So if he's fine and Steph feels he's fine, then go ahead and play him. But you don't want to take any chances. Last year, you were able to get through the first round without him, and you wound up in a pretty good spot in the end. So you know you have the depth and the talent to beat whoever you face in the first round. So just be cautious with the guy because you're going to need a healthy Steph. And that's one thing we learned from the 2016 finals when they lost the 3-1 lead is that you need a healthy Steph if you want to have any chance, even if you got KD around.
I'm with you. He couldn't cross up Kevin Love. A healthy Steph is going right by him. Remember that sequence?
Oh, by him every time.
By him. All right, good stuff, man. Appreciate you hopping on. Michael Lee, the Athletic senior NBA writer. Thank you, Michael. Good stuff today, man.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, we'll get you back. There's no doubt about that. Axe update is right now. Some afternoon baseball. The schedule is pretty heavy. We'll come back. We've got the blast and a little preview of the night in the NBA. Some scenarios that we have to sift through, which we'll do after Rich Ackerman's update, which is right now.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, finishing up strong here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Let's answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question coming in from Georgia, and Paul queries, all right, guys, does the Lakers president job right now compare to the UCLA head coaching job? Will it be hard to find candidates? I think it's going to be a little tricky.
Yeah, I don't think it compares to UCLA. UCLA, because the Pac-12 is down and you don't know what style the coach is going to – it's different. There's so many variables in college basketball. I think this is probably easier than it was for UCLA to find Mick Cronin.
It can't be harder. True. I mean, UCLA, think about the path.
What did it take, 5 months, 4 months?
It was ridiculous.
No, it's 5 months.
Just about. When did they fire Steve? November. They fired Steve in – was it November or December? Yeah, right around 5 months, just about. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guarantee low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I'm guessing what Paul means, though, is will there ultimately just be a dearth of candidates, like qualified people, which wasn't necessarily the case with the Bruins. They just botched it. Yeah. They got used in terms of leverage.
Yeah, you're right.
There were some buyout issues with Jamie Dixon. Mm-hmm. And Rick Barnes, who remained at Tennessee.
Cal, they underpriced it. And
Calipari used that as leverage for a lifetime deal with Kentucky.
Hey, why not?
Yeah.
Tired of people calling every couple years.
Yeah. I mean, if they could ever poach Bob Myers from the Warriors, that would be pretty close to a home run. Because that could maybe mean Kevin Durant.
I don't understand this question, though. Is this question about the coach, or is it about the president of basketball operations?
I think it's about both. The trouble that UCLA had finding their coach before hiring Cronin, and the anticipation that the Lakers might have a similar task, difficult one, finding the president job for their team.
I think it'll be easy to find a head coach for the Lakers.
Yes, that I agree with.
Yeah.
Whether it's Ty Lue, whether it's Mark Jackson, whether it's Jay Kidd, something like that.
People are going to want it.
I agree. All right, Teek, let's blast away. Here we go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Teek and Tierney.
All right,
Tink, a Chiefs fan who allegedly shined the laser pointer at Tom Brady in the AFC Championship game, we all remember that, of course, on CBS, faces up to a year in jail or a $1,000 fine. That doesn't seem even remotely equal, but okay.
I love it, though.
Is it too harsh?
Yeah, of course it's too harsh, but you should go to jail for being an idiot and get fined. So, no, it's not too harsh. Yeah, I mean, it's harsh, but yeah, I get it. You're an idiot.
Yes. I don't think that idiots should always necessarily go to jail. I think criminals should always go to jail. I think idiots should be fined. Mm. I just don't understand the connection here. Like, is it the decision of the perpetrator to either go to jail for a year or pay a $1,000 fine?
Yeah.
Well, is that up to, like, the judge? Who the hell's making this decision?
It could easily be conspiracy. I had money on the game. And if he didn't convert this third down or whatever it was, or if the line was kept at a certain place, I want a certain amount of money. I mean, there's many ways to shape it.
Hey, you got money on the game. You got to do what you got to do. Nah, just kidding. Dustin Pedroia. Boy, Dustin's been gone for a long time. Made his 2019 debut after playing just three games all last season. Former MVP, the spark plug, really. A lot of ways, the heart and soul for that team as they were a championship team. Even though last year he was hurt, as we know, but the previous championships. Can he still be a productive player?
He's 35.
I have my doubts.
He's going to be 36 soon.
I really have my doubts. I really, truly do. I mean, boy, he's had a tremendous career.
No, it's unbelievable.
I mean, if he didn't get hurt, if he played last year, he'd be over 2,000 hits or right there.
Yeah.
And if his career was uninterrupted, I don't know that he'd quite get to 3,000, but he'd be around 2,500.
Yeah.
I would say...
No, he's not going to get to 3,000.
Boy, I can't root for a Red Sox, but I can root for a good story, and he is a good story who just squeezed out every inch of talent that he was blessed by God with. But my answer is no.
Yeah, I'm going to say no as well. He hasn't been an all-star since 2013. He's still a really good player, but I think his effectiveness has probably lost some of its touch. And he battled injuries for so many. In 2 years, he didn't play.
All right, Teek, we touched this before. Anthony Davis shows up for the Pelicans season finale last night in a T-shirt that said, "That's all folks," obviously hitting up the old cartoon reference, the tag there. Mm-hmm. Funny or distasteful?
It's distasteful. You should go to jail. Being an idiot also, just like the laser pointer guy. Just kidding.
You know, I think it was... go ahead, I'm sorry. I know you don't like it, but let's settle on the word.
It was corny.
Yeah, that's what I was going to... Distasteful? Corny? Yeah. Funny? No, corny. Definitely not funny.
Like, who's laughing
so
at
corny.
That? Like, nobody's laughing with you at that, Anthony Davis.
No.
And I like you, but that's dumb. You're not going to... People aren't going to walk in and be like, "Oh, look at Anthony shit."
Yeah.
He's slapping them all in the face.
It's exactly what he's doing. What he should have worn if he wanted to really endear himself to people who supported him from day one as a teenager, something, you know, I'm not that it'd say, "I'm going to miss you." Not quite that, you know, whatever. But, yeah, there would have been a different way to do this. What he did was completely corny. Weak. Weak.
This is awesome.
This was not weak. This was awesome. Billy Hamilton of the Royals scored from second base on a sack fly. Where does this rank in the strangest baseball things we've ever seen? Well, I mean,
strange is the wrong word.
Awesome is the right word.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can say strange on the part of the defense not being in tune. I mean, that should never happen.
Yeah.
That's without the fence.
I mean, if I don't know who the center fielder is back here, but he catches the ball at the warning track and is like, "Man, whew, I had to track that one down. Let me take a knee." Billy and he was gone. Billy Hamilton. As soon as that ball hit his glove, he was out. And you could tell he was going to try to do it regardless. If the ball came in, he was going to try to, because that ballpark is deep.
Yeah.
So he was going to try to do it regardless. But when he saw the guy taking a knee, he's like,
"That's it. Green light time.
Green light."
I wrote about probably a 6'1", 960. I'm going to score from second.
Malik Smith, by
Malik Smith, the outfielder, right? That's who he was. I wouldn't say strange. I remember a couple. Listen, you watch baseball from the time you're five. Baseball lends itself to strangeness.
Yeah.
A couple things that jump out. It happened with the Mets once, where there was a ground ball. I've seen this a few times. Ground ball back to the pitcher. And they, El Duque as well, just can't get the ball out of the mitt.
Uh-huh.
So they actually flip the mitt with the ball lodged in to the first baseman. But the strangest is the Pine Tar game at 83.
Yeah, yeah.
I was 8 years old. I'll never forget running out of my house. My buddy Tommy Radigan, three homes down. They still live there as mom and dad, as do my parents. And if they're watching, miss you guys. And we ran out because it was during the summer. We had to have lunch. We were young. Mom said, come in for lunch. You come in. We came. I'm like, did you see that? I mean, it was pine tar. They're measuring the bat with the length of home plate. Oh, that was as strange as it gets. And George Brett crushed that ball off of Goose Gossage. Hit a high fastball at his chin. I don't know how he turned that around, but he did. All right. And it eventually stood up, even though Billy Martin and everybody, they challenged that. The best storyline heading into the NBA playoffs is...
Can the Milwaukee Bucks live up to the hype from the regular season? 60-game winners, MVP runner-up, likely, and Antetokounmpo. Brogdon will be back. I saw him. The final
a little breaking news here. Brogdon tell Teague he's going to come back.
He'll be back. He healed on his own. His midfoot sprain healed on his own.
Cardiovascularly, he's not going to be right. He's missing time.
He's not, but it'll be fine.
All right, so you're going to go with the Bucks.
Yeah, I think the Bucks. Can they fulfill their expectation? Mirotic's going to be back. You know, first round of the playoffs, so they'll be all right.
Yep, the arena's sweet. The fans have popped up. The team is terrific. 60 wins. What would I say? Can I say that LeBron's not in it? I think he needed a little humility. I won't say that. I think the best storyline, maybe not the best, but one that I think could be powerful. I'm going to show a little love for the Raptors here. Not that I think they're going to win the championship. I don't. I agree. Kyle Lowry is one of the most overrated players in the NBA, as per that Athletic poll. I think he's very overrated, especially in the playoffs here. But I wonder, those fans are great.
Yeah.
Can they somehow find the piece of Kawhi Leonard's heart? Because it's like a hockey atmosphere. The Air Canada Center during the playoffs is incredible. Can they somehow coerce Kawhi Leonard to stay emotionally? I'll follow that. I think that'll be a good storyline to follow.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
By the way, I think the answer will be no, but it'll be worth watching.
Yep, playoff scenarios on the line tonight.
Yep.
Bucks are locked. Raptors are locked. 76ers are locked in the third. Celtics are locked in the fourth. Indiana Pacers are locked in the fifth. Then it's the Brooklyn Nets, the Orlando Magic,
and
the Detroit Pistons, and the Charlotte Hornets really all vying for positioning. The Charlotte Hornets are vying to get in. They have to win tonight, and they have to hope that the Detroit Pistons lose to the New York Knicks.
Well, they're playing the Knicks. They just show up, and they will.
Yeah, well,
I mean, meaning the Knicks will lose.
Yeah, yeah,
just
exactly.
Show up. You know what
but
I mean.
But the Pistons lose the tiebreaker to the Hornets. Interesting. Yeah. They've lost all four games. To the Hornets. So the Hornets are going to try it again.
Matchup.
That's the one to watch. Orlando visiting the Hornets and Detroit Pistons visiting the New York Knicks. That's the only game to really worry about in the Eastern Conference. In the Western Conference.
By the way, real quick, I saw that Blake Griffin is listed as doubtful for the Pistons.
Yeah, but they
listed as doubtful.
But they were down 19. They came back yesterday or 2 days ago, and they won basically without him. So I don't know what this means, but whatever.
Okay, you probably don't need him against the Knicks.
Yeah, exactly.
Throw it out
Western
there.
Conference. Everybody is in the postseason, but it's all about seeding because it's a half a game between three teams. This is all about who's going to be forced to face the Golden State Warriors on the road in round one. It's either going to be the Clippers or the San Antonio Spurs. So we'll see.
All right, good job running through that, Teague. Very well done. There's a lot of stuff there. With only a game to go, there's still a lot of possibilities.
A lot of moving parts. In the West, it's all seeding.
Yeah.
But in the East, there is the opportunity for a team to sneak in. The Charlotte Hornets have had an interesting season. They're not good.
Yeah,
but,
Hornets are boring.
Agreed.
Boring. I love watching, but they're boring.
Interesting season, but they're not good.
So no, it's like they're weird. Not really fun to watch. Kemp is fun, but I think it's great the Magic got in. And the Magic have a good little roster there.
Yeah.
You know, we've had a few of their players on this year. And how about this, Teague? So I saw this during one of the breaks. According to Golf Digest, an unidentified Nevada individual placed an $85,000 bet on Woods to win the Masters.
Okay,
it's the largest amount ever, and with the 14-1 odds, if Tiger wins the Masters, he would win almost $1.2 million.
That's crazy.
But they usually don't take golf bets that high. They actually have to clear it. This is William Hill. Let's see.
Because it means that you either know something or are doing something.
Perhaps, yeah. I mean, he had to call his boss. His name is Bogdanovich, Nick Bogdanovich, and he had to make sure that they could accept the wager because generally the larger golf bets normally are in the $10,000 to $25,000 range. So, Tiger Woods, what time is he up tomorrow?
11:04.
Oh, that's right. 11. That's right. So by the time we start the show, he will be deep into his back nine, hopefully somewhere in the 60s. You win tomorrow or not?
We'll see.
This guy, he's supposed to be, you know what's going on with this guy? He's supposed to be going to Paris to run a marathon.
You're right.
And I believe that was Tracy who called about it out. I'm sure it was Tracy. His passport expired.
You're right.
So he doesn't know if he's going to get to go.
So I may be here. I may not be.
Hey, listen, I'm not mad at you.
Got nothing but love for you.
I don't mind if my partner hangs around for some Masters action. Come on, Tiger. Make it happen, buddy. Phil's later in the day. I think Phil's 120 or so. So we're all over the Masters. If you do go, have a great flight, buddy.
Appreciate you, bro.
If not, I'll see you in a couple hours. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great Wednesday night. Bye-bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.